It's been far too long since we have caught up with Josh Sullivan. And in case you haven't been here when we talked before, Josh is a 27-year-old guy and has made it his work this year not to do any work. Well, that's not really the case. But to go around the country and spend a week at a time with different friends around the country, some of whom were friends before and some people that he's kind of met along the way, and is trying to stay in a different city every week with a different person and just see the country end to end. Started in his home city of St. Petersburg, Florida, then went all the way across the country to California, and is kind of working his way back over the course of the year. And it's a fascinating effort, and doing a lot of blogging and magazines along the way, and we dig him, so we check in with him every so often to find out how things are going. Hi, Josh, how are you?
Hi, John, I'm good. How are you?
Great. Where are you?
I am. I'm actually in your time zone again. I'm in Chicago.
Back in Central Time. So now you had the last time we talked, you were still in Wisconsin, I think.
Yeah, I was in. Where was I? I was in Durand, Wisconsin.
Yes. Right.
And then a few days after that, I took off from Minneapolis and got back to Michigan. It was my first time in Michigan in a few years.
And back home. You went to Saginaw and where else?
I went to Marquette first.
Marquette first and then Saginaw.
And then Saginaw. And then I did an extended stay in Saginaw and stayed with my sister and stayed with my best friend's parents. And then I ended up in Chicago last week, and I'm doing some extra time in Chicago, and then I head to Indianapolis on Thursday.
So, again, this whirlwind trip has been just that. Well, let's go back to where we were, because you mentioned you were in the Twin Cities, and we talked about that last time around, and then went to Marquette, Michigan in the Upper Peninsula. What did you see there?
Oh, well, I saw snow.
In May.
In May. I saw waterfalls. I saw Lake Superior for the first time. What else did I do? I jumped into Lake Superior, and it was still, the water temperature was still in the mid-30s.
So you decided that a little hypothermia would be a good thing for the trip.
Yeah, it was pretty exhilarating. It was one of the more insane things that I've done on this trip so far.
Was there anybody with you when you did this?
Yeah, the girl I was staying with, she said, come on, go jump in Lake Superior, and I went in there the first time, and I got up to my waist, and I ran out, and then I went in the second time and got up to my neck, and I ran out, and I decided, you know, if I don't go under, then I'm going to be regretting it. So I set up my camera on the beach with the tripod, and I filmed myself running in there and running out very fast, but at least I went all the way under.
Now, we have to mention again to folks that you're documenting all of this, and you've got several different websites. Is the MySpace page still kind of the preferred one?
There's myspace.com/52friends. My site's joshcomics.com, and it links to everything. And now that Facebook allows you to get a username, I now have facebook.com/joshcomics.
Very good.
And, I've been putting stuff up, tons of photos, tons of video, especially on Facebook. I've been putting a lot of video up.
Now, Marquette, Michigan, of course, is also the home of Marquette University. So did you get to tour the campus at all?
I was staying on the campus of Northern Michigan, and so I'd walk right out the door, and I'm right there, and I got to walk around there. They had this really wonderful sculpture walk there, and then it snowed, and then it got really nice, and then I jumped in the water. Marquette is also the largest city in the Upper Peninsula, but there's only 20,000 people there.
Right, so saying it's the biggest city in the Upper Peninsula really isn't saying much.
Yeah.
Because every other town up there has like 200 people in it.
Yeah, and it's a completely different world up there, and I noticed that immediately getting into the Lower Peninsula, how in the Lower Peninsula it feels like Michigan, and in the Upper Peninsula it is a whole different state.
So what is it? I mean, set the scene a little bit, because most of us have never been there.
Well, I was happy when I got there to hear people say pop and call convenience stores party stores, because I was used to that being in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
But there's a ton of wilderness, and we would drive 2 minutes out of town, and we'd be at waterfalls and forests, and there's Lake Superior right there, and it's a very very big feature.
Now, a lot of what you saw up in the Pacific Northwest, and you've got pictures of this up on joshcomics.com, there was a lot of pine forest. But I know being in Western New York and upstate New York and into Canada, that there is some pine forest there, but there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's elm trees and oak trees and all these huge towering things.
Yeah, a whole mix of things. It was strange. Right away when I got into Washington, you just see tons and tons of evergreens. But when I got into the UP, it's like every other tree is a different kind. And so it definitely had that same feeling as being in the Pacific Northwest. But I was, in the Pacific Northwest, there was from Oregon to Washington, I was like, man, I really like this cool weather. I like the north. And then I got into the UP and I go, oh my God, this is cold up here in May and yeah. Gross.
And it just never goes away. It stays cold forever. So
they said when I jumped into Lake Superior that 2 weeks before that, there was still ice on the water.
Was there really?
Yeah.
So now, did it warm up at all while you were there? You were only there for a week, but was there any temperature variation at all?
Yeah, it went from being in the 20s into the 60s. So thankfully, on the day I jumped into the water, the air temperature was in the 60s.
Okay. So it was a little bit warm outside. But what about stuff to do? I mean, outside of the sculpture walk, with a town of only 20,000 people, was there a lot there? I mean, in terms of nightlife?
Yeah, my friend that was staying with, she took me and we saw this really awesome band called the Shantymen on the Tuesday night that I was there, and they were having a CD release show at this really cool bar called Upfront and Company, and it was amazing. It's like there was a band from Marquette that was playing, and it was just they had such a great quality to them. It was that northern Michigan feel where, they're all dressed up like it's cold out, because it was cold out. You know, some of them are sporting beards, and they had a xylophone player and a violinist. And so we went and saw them. There was a lot of beer drinking going on out there.
I can imagine. Well, with it being that cold, you got to do something.
And just hiking. A lot of people seem to want to just go hiking and go wander around, and it was right there, so why not do it? So I hiked a lot. I went up Sugarloaf Mountain. I walked through woods. I walked through Little Presque Isle. I walked through Little Presque Isle at 3:30 in the morning, the land adjacent to Little Presque Isle, and it was scary walking through the woods with absolutely no light at all, just a little bit of moonlight.
Oh, yeah, but I'll bet it had to be. There's a certain coolness to being that kind of scared, even though you're waiting for Jason Voorhees to jump out from behind one of the trees.
that was the first thing I thought of.
All right, well, Josh, hang on. We'll get further into Saginaw. We'll also talk about the rest of your travels. And again, if you want to keep track of the 52 Friends effort, you can do it online. The big repository for all the websites is joshcomics.com. And Josh, of course, is the author of the comics as well, so you can learn more about that. And we'll do some more talking about his travels in just a couple of minutes as Overnight America continues early on a Monday morning.
Think of it as a late-night snack for your brain. This is Overnight America with John Grayson.
Past the hour as Overnight America continues. John Grayson here with you on an early Monday morning, and we're talking with Josh Sullivan. We check in about once a month as he is making his way across the country. 52 Friends is the name of his effort, and it's an effort to stay in 52 different cities with one person each. Some friends he makes along the way, and some that, in fact, a couple of the folks that he stayed with were met through this radio show, through Overnight America, which is also kind of cool. But Chicago this week, and we were in the middle of talking about Marquette, Michigan, and the Upper Peninsula. So you mentioned hiking, Josh, a little bit. Go further into that. How much did you get to spend time outside?
A lot, actually. I was so happy to be in wilderness and open areas, because I knew that it was coming up where I was going to start not I wouldn't be around a lot of nature, you know, especially with Chicago and all these big cities I got coming up now. But the friend I was staying with, I met from couchsurfing.com. It was the first person I stayed with from couchsurfing, And so she was really into this project. She wanted to show me all over the place. So we went to Big Bay, Michigan, which is 25 miles north of Marquette. And we ended up meeting some guy at this bar there that told us how to get to this one place, Thomas Rock. And it was weird. You had to drive all this way up on this road, and then you had to get out and hike up it. And we got up there, and it was absolutely silent. And you look out, you can see Lake Superior and Lake Independence and Big Bay. It's like 300 people that live there. And it was so quiet, and just seeing stuff like that. And there was another day where my friend, she goes, hey, we're going to go run up Sugarloaf Mountain and try to catch the sunset. So we had all just eaten, and by the time we ran up that mountain, you know, what they call mountains up there in the UP, it was, you know, I don't even know the elevation, like 1,000-something feet. And by the time we ran up that, we were just about to die.
Yeah, full stomachs and a nice hike. That's beautiful.
We missed the sunset, too.
Oh, yeah, well. But, yeah, those views, like the Thomas Rock, like you were talking about, it's one of those times you wish you had one of those panoramic cameras that you can just you know, see what the view is like from all different angles. But so from there, you went to back home. You're originally from Saginaw, Michigan, and so that had to be a part of the trip. How did you get from Marquette to Saginaw?
Well, I had posted on, I think it was MySpace. I said, hey, does anybody want to come up to Marquette and get me from Saginaw? And sure enough, one of my good friends from high school said, hey, I want to be a part of this project. I'll come get you. So she drove up and stayed the night with all of us. And then the next morning, we drove all the way. She drove up to Marquette, which took five, six hours,
uh-huh.
Stayed the night, and then hung out with us and got to experience some of the insanity that was going on in Marquette. And then the next morning, we woke up and drove all the way down to Saginaw. And the best part about it was we didn't listen to any music the whole way. We just talked. We just caught up. I hadn't seen her in 3-4 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So had you kept in touch with her at all?
I just online, you know, just the hello, you know, just saying hi to people here and there online and saying, oh, I hope everything's all right. And so basically it was just that. And so it was great. It was one of the best conversations I've ever had in my life. And so she came, picked me up, dropped me off at my sister's house in Saginaw. And actually it worked out really cool because she said, oh, hey, I just want to keep hanging out with you a whole bunch while you're here. And she kept taking me on all these crazy adventures and even showed me this nature center in Saginaw that I had never even been to before. So it was, and I never heard of.
What is it? What kind of nature center?
It's just this nature walk area, and I had never heard of it, and I was really blown away that I didn't hear of it, you know, especially growing up in Saginaw and living there for 18 years. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. This trip is actually turning me on to new stuff where I grew up at. So it was just something like that, just something simple. And she said, hey, I just want to take you to this, and especially now that I know that you don't know about it.
Yeah, right. Well, and I got to stop you here because I got to ask you about something that we have not really touched on in all the conversations that we've had. But I've noticed that a lot of the friends that you keep bringing up, you keep using the pronoun she. This has got to be the girl meetingist effort anybody ever came up with ever.
Well, it's really strange because a lot of the people that are helping me along the way or giving me places to stay or a lot of the people I'm meeting are female.
Uh-huh.
And
so how's that working out for you?
I've been meeting some very attractive women along the way.
This is good. Okay, that's what I was going for, and I kind of figured that was the case. So, all right, well, it's good to know that at least that part of the schedule is full.
You know, maybe I'll fall in love someday. Maybe that's what I should shoot for.
Yeah, right. Well, that'll be next year's effort, right? 52 more cities looking for love in whatever. So. So back to Saginaw we go. So was it nice to make that kind of homecoming? Because I've noticed that with my own hometown, every time I go back there, things are so much different that it's almost unrecognizable.
Well, the really great thing about this, and this was something that I had tried to shoot for with this trip, was especially with getting something in Marquette, I didn't want to come up to Saginaw from the south. Like I've always been accustomed to doing, either driving from St. Pete to Saginaw, you know, driving up from Florida to Saginaw or flying in, and it was always coming up from the south. So it was totally a wonderful perspective coming down from the north and seeing all this stuff that I remembered as a kid being in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula and arriving into Saginaw from the opposite direction. So that was really cool. But it was like a bomb went off in that city. I was really taken aback. There's so many abandoned homes. There's so many torn down homes, burnt out homes, and I couldn't believe it. And it was the first time I really got to experience something on a fairly large scale anywhere on this trip so far. And it was really sad that I had to experience that in my hometown.
Yeah. Well, and so, I mean, obviously that's a lot different than it was when you were growing up there, but did you get the feeling when you were talking to the people, because I mean, I'm sure you got to see not only the friend you mentioned, but a lot of people that you knew from growing up and from high school and all that. What kind of feel did you get from them about where they think the city's going?
A lot of them basically were saying, you know, it's just falling apart. There's, you know, a lot of people are moving away. Everybody realizes this, but a lot of them are still there. And I think they're just used to it. They feel comfortable there. But I think another thing is a lot of them feel like they're trapped there. And I guess, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen when everything's done? My aunt was telling me, she said, yeah, they want to tear down 800 homes, but the city just doesn't have the funding for it. So as soon as they get it, they're going to tear it down. And over by my sister's house, there were complete blocks just decimated. And there were, of her neighbors, there were three houses that were torn down. And I didn't even notice it until 3 days into staying there. I just looked outside, and I go, oh, my God, where's that house?
Right.
And so, yeah, a lot of my friends are still there. And so pretty much everyone I was running into just basically was going with the flow and, you know, sort of dealing with it. And they kind of said things along the lines of, well, it's not as bad as Flint, or oh,
yeah,
it's not as bad as Detroit, or, you know, just trying to hold on to some sort of good-natured part of their city crumbling.
All right, well, hang on a second. We'll do some more talking about it just ahead. Josh Sullivan's with us. You're on Overnight America. The hour as Overnight America continues. John Grayson here with you, and our conversation continues with Josh Sullivan from joshcomics.com and 52 friends staying a week at a time in cities across the country, just kind of doing the Jack Kerouac on the road thing updated for the new millennium. And he's 27 years old, and it was just kind of taking this year out to have that one last sort of shot at being able to see it all. And boy, you've seen an awful lot so far, Josh, but you know, the homecoming aspect of this, getting back to Saginaw, is kind of interesting to me on that level, because everybody who's ever done that and made that leap away from the hometown, you know, goes back and they have that same kind of story about how different things are. So give us the upside. You mentioned that there was this nature preserve that you weren't even aware of when you were there. What were some other things you did in Saginaw that you never did or never even knew about when you were a kid?
Oh, geez. Drinking.
Well, it's good that you didn't know about that when you were a kid, yes.
Yeah, that seems to be everybody's favorite pastime in Michigan. So my friends I kept running into, they kept buying me drink. I've had so much to drink on this trip. Like, I've never really been a beer drinker or a drinker at all, and so like sometimes I don't come home sober. And
yeah.
What else? I think the big thing with it is I got to see my hometown from the eyes of a tourist.
Yeah.
So I got to go around and appreciate a lot of the really cool houses, a lot of the cool buildings. Got to look at stuff downtown. There was my best friend's grandma kidnapped me for a day and took me to the Temple Theater in downtown Saginaw. And every Tuesday at 2 p.m., they have a two-hour tour that costs $2. And they just remodeled it in the past few years, and it's amazing. And I remember I went to it as a kid once or a few times, and I never really would appreciate that stuff, you know, now, and like I do now. And It was really great. We got this guy played the organ in there, and he showed us all the different areas of the theater, and showed us the lights and the different. Just told us this crazy history about this building.
One of these those old timey theaters, like from the 20s.
Yeah, it was built in 1926. I think.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, oh my god, I'm in Saginaw. I'm in downtown Saginaw, which is like very, very abandoned, and not as abandoned as people make it out to be, but it's, you know, a lot of stuff just isn't there anymore. And it used to be a huge, like a way bigger city back in the day when lumbering and everything was a lot more prevalent. I went out, what else did I do? Jeez, there was so much. I went out and visited Old Jamestown Hall, which is outside Saginaw, and it was a haven for punk and ska shows in the 90s.
Oh, cool.
And so I got to go out there, and actually the back door was open. I didn't go in, but I filmed a little bit. I put the camera up to it and filmed a little segment about talking about some of the shows there and how I saw my first shows and how my first art jobs were doing flyers for some of those shows. So that was really cool. And the main thing with it was just reconnecting with people, and lots of people I hadn't seen since high school, and they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm doing this crazy trip. Oh, my God.
Well, and in addition to all of that, of course, there's the family connection there, too, because you stayed with your sister for a while. Is she older than you or younger?
She's a year and a half younger, and that was really strange because my sister and I have always had a real touchy, like, you know, like if I say something that just makes her mad, she'll just stop talking to me for a while.
Yeah.
So she, it was, I think, the longest I've spent around my sister since we were kids. And it was great, like, really helped us reconnect and bond, and it was really weird being under the same roof. You know, we definitely had our arguments here and there, but we were getting along for the first time since I moved down to Florida.
Well, this is good. So what does she think about what you're doing?
Well, I couldn't get a good answer out of her, because I asked her the same thing, and she was like, well, that's cool. And I told her, she's sort of in the same state where she doesn't really have anything tying her down at the moment. If she wanted to, she could go do something crazy like this. So I said, hey, why don't you come on this trip with me? And she goes, really? She goes, no, I can't do that. I can't pull that off. And I go, you know what, Carrie? You totally can, because I didn't think I could pull this off.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost at the halfway point already. So I was trying so hard, like up to the last minute. I said, hey, just come with me. Just come with me. And so she wouldn't budge, but, you know, at least we're not fighting like we used to.
Yeah, right. Well, and at least you kind of made the effort. You thought enough about that relationship now to make the effort to say you can come with me if you want to.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't even think of it like that. Yeah, it's like, because I definitely could have just not said anything at all.
That's really funny. So now, in the time that you stayed with her, did you spend 1 week in Saginaw or two?
I ended up doing 3 weeks.
You did? Oh, okay.
Because I was going to do two in Saginaw and then go to Grand Rapids. And then a lot of stuff happened in Saginaw. Like, a lot of people wanted to hang out. And I should have told everybody I was leaving a week before I did, so everybody would want to meet up with me.
Yeah.
Before I left, because then that Wednesday before I did leave, everybody was like, hey, let's hang out, let's do this. But I ended up staying in Saginaw for a little bit longer because I had family drama going on, and I was trying to get caught up on things, and I just couldn't because there was so much going on, and I didn't realize it was going to happen. So I was really hard-pressed to get out of Saginaw and go to Chicago.
There you go. Well, and you're 27, which means that I'm assuming that your 10th high school reunion has got to be sometime this year.
Yeah, it's in August, at the end of August, and I was.
But now you've got no reason to go.
And I was really hoping I could go, because it would definitely be really funny to, you know, sit around and talk to everybody and just say, hey, this is what I'm doing, you know, and tell all these funny stories about the trip. But then the really great thing that worked out with being in Saginaw is I pretty much ran into everybody I'd want to see at the reunion anyway.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, Josh, hang on for us one more time. We'll do some more talking just ahead, and we'll get on the road to Chicago as we continue our conversation with Josh Sullivan. JoshComics.com is the website, and you can follow him on Facebook and MySpace and all of that stuff, but you can get to all of those pages through joshcomics.com, and we'll also talk a little bit about the trials and tribulations of making a trip like this. It's definitely not something for everybody, but as Josh said, he didn't think he could do it in the initial offing either. So we're about halfway through with it, and there's more to come as Overnight America continues. John Grayson here with you on a Monday morning.
More is coming your way. Overnight America with John Grayson.
Seven past the hour as Overnight America rolls on a Monday morning. John Grayson here with you and Josh Sullivan with us. We check in with him about once a month or so as he is making his way across the country from city to city, just staying with people and seeing the country and meeting new folks and doing all of that good stuff. And started out at the beginning of the year in St. Petersburg, Florida, went all the way to California, and is working his way back and hopes to be back home. When is the date that you're scheduled to be back home in St. Pete?
January 1st.
Okay, so for the new year in 2010, you hope to be back home. And with everything that's been kind of up in the air schedule-wise, how fluid do you think that date is? Do you think you'll actually make it back on time?
Oh, yeah, because I'm just south of Tampa for week 52.
Oh, okay.
So. It's gonna be real funny to see me not go to St. Pete during that week. If I can pull that off, that's gonna be amazing. But that whole time that I'll be over that way, I'm just gonna be like, hey, take me to St. Pete. I want to go see St. Pete.
Yeah. So from Saginaw, Michigan, your friends didn't want to let you leave, but you finally had to. How did you get to Chicago?
This is a good travel tale. I totally thought I had a ride to Chicago. It was going to be somebody that lives here and was visiting Saginaw, somebody I knew from high school, and I thought that was all lined up. And then turns out that I emailed them on the day we were supposed to, or the day before we were supposed to leave, and for some reason I just thought I was riding with them, I guess. And he goes, "Oh, I'm not even in Saginaw. I'm not coming there. You'll have to find another ride."
Oh, nice. The day before you're supposed to go.
Yeah. So, and nobody I knew wanted to drive me to Chicago, and so I ended up getting a ride to Flint, and then I took a bus from Flint to Battle Creek, and I took my first train ride ever from Battle Creek to Chicago, and arriving into Chicago on a train was one of the coolest things I've ever experienced.
Yeah, and I left Chicago on a train once, and I know what you're talking about. It is a very cool train station, but we skipped through, because isn't Battle Creek, Michigan, the home of Kellogg's?
Yep. And in Ralston, and I was standing outside at the train depot, and it smelled like cereal.
No, of course it did. That's great.
I wish I would have got to go through the Kellogg factory. That would have been a cool tour.
So, with whom are you staying in Chicago?
I'm staying with my dear friend Elizabeth, who was actually my first girlfriend.
Oh, very nice.
So she's letting me stay with her, and she. She's been really great, and it's great being around another Saginaw person for yet another week.
So when did you arrive?
I got here last Saturday, because since I my schedule got all thrown off and I didn't know how I was getting here, I ended up doing another day in Saginaw, and so I got here last Saturday, and then I'm leaving this coming Thursday.
Now, I hate the fact that we've only got a few minutes to talk about what's happening in Chicago, because you did an entire week there. But give us the highlights in 4 minutes. Tell us about Chicago.
I went up to Andersonville today, and I'm staying in the Ukrainian Village neighborhood right near Wicker Park, and it's amazing. Today, some friends of my friend I'm staying with, they basically just said, "Hey, we want to show you around." So they came over today, took me on this big, long adventure all through Chicago, went downtown, went up to, went all down Clark on the bus, Clark and Belmont. And then I went to Lake Michigan the other day. I went to Lincoln Park or Lincoln Square the other day. And God, I've been doing so much random stuff. I ran into a friend from St. Pete the other day. He said he was in Chicago, so I met up with him and caught up with him. And so it's really great, seeing old friends and making new friends. Like today I made two new friends, and they were really great, and really great conversations and really great advice. And it totally put me in a really great mood today.
Now, I know that part of what you're doing to sort of sustain yourself while you're on the road is printing the zines, which are kind of the stories of the trip in comic book fashion, and also painting switchblades. So how's all of that working out?
I'm starting to paint again. I'm doing I'm painting light switch covers and taking commissions and trying to raise money by doing art, because that's my big goal in life, is to make a living off my art. So what better way than to help fund this trip than by doing art? So I'm doing that, and I'm getting ready to put out another batch of zines, and I'm selling those, and it's fun. It's actually, you know, like I'm being creative for a change. And before I left on this trip, I was in that routine of just going to work and going home and not really doing art. And so I'm getting a chance to do art finally.
This is great. And so give us, again, one of the high points of Chicago, just one of the things that you have seen while you're there that just either took your breath away or made you think or gave you some pause.
I can't get over the skyline. I don't know what is up with me and being obsessed with the skyline. And I've never felt that way about anywhere before, and I've never taken so many pictures of the same buildings over and over and over. But I absolutely love it. And the first time I saw it, we were coming in on the train, and we just turned a corner, and I saw the skyline, and I go, wow, I can't wait to go to that city.
Yeah. Yeah, it does give you that. And there's so much that's going on. I mean, just in the downtown area alone, which is huge. But still, I mean, there's so much to see there. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen some of the artwork that's along the Miracle Mile and that whole deal.
Yep, and that's another thing. I love the whole music scene, the whole art scene. I'm really sad that I'm leaving here in 4 or 5 days.
So where are you going now? Where's next?
I'm going to Indianapolis, and I'm staying with another friend from high school, and he's really excited, and he told me that if I didn't stay with him, he would kill me.
So. Okay, then you better stay with him. So Indianapolis, and then?
Covington, Kentucky, and that's my halfway point. And the really cool thing is a couple of my really good friends from St. Pete are coming up to stay with me for the week.
Just across the river from Cincinnati, so a lot to see there as well. Then where?
And then I'm going to Fairport Harbor, Ohio for 4th of July and 4th of July weekend and all that, and I'm staying with some more friends from St. Pete.
And if we hook back up with you in mid-July, where will we find you?
I will probably be in Vermont. I'm going to Burlington, Vermont, and then Presque Isle, Maine.
Wow, that's a heck of a trip from Ohio all the way up to Vermont.
Yeah, because I still haven't gotten between Ohio and Vermont confirmed, and my friend in Vermont said, hey, if you want, we got friends elsewhere in Vermont that'll let you stay with them. So
excellent.
Go for that if you want.
In the meantime, again, people can keep up with you through joshcomics.com, and we'll check in with you in about a month.
All right. Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate it.
You got it, Josh. Take care of yourself and be safe on the road. Josh Sullivan, the webmaster of joshcomics.com and the guy who came up with this whole idea. 52 friends, one each, one per week across the country. And as you can hear, he's seen an awful lot of stuff out there and has even more in store. So we'll keep you posted on his comings and goings right here on Overnight America. We'll put the wraps on the hour just ahead. John Grayson here with you on a Monday morning.
Which is the best sports city in America? Discuss. This is Overnight America with John Grayson.